Well, we've been continuing to look and just really getting into studying and getting ready to go launching forward in the study of the life of our Lord Jesus. Now, I want you to turn with me tonight to the book of St. Luke. Look in chapter number 2. In Luke chapter number 2, I'm going to read verses 41 through verse 52 and share a message about Jesus' life from boyhood to manhood. In Luke chapter 2, this is the only other, I guess you'd say, sketch or portion of information that's given to us about the early life of Jesus. We've already studied about the first glimpse of information that when Jesus was born, and now he was taken to the temple at 8 days of age and circumcised and given an official name. Now we come to the other passage that Luke shares with us in Luke chapter 2 about all the information we have about Jesus' early childhood is in that passage and in this passage as well. So look with me in Luke chapter 2, verse 41. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus had tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them, and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wished ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them, and came to Nazareth, and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature, and in favor with God and man. Just two brief looks at Jesus' life from his birth until he began his public ministry, as we'll study a little bit later, as he appeared before John the Baptist and was baptized in the River Jordan and started his public ministry. The early childhood is very sketchy at best about the life of Jesus. We've looked at the first portion about his birth, and we know from previous information that he was, circumcised at 8 days. And then he went back to Nazareth with his mom and Joseph. And we don't hear any more from his early days until now Jesus is 12 years old. And so those years between his actual birth days and his 12th year, we know virtually nothing about it. And then Luke comes along and Luke writes, and probably Luke writes because he had many conversations personally with Mary, Jesus' mother. So Luke writes and gives us another little snippet, you might say, or a little bit of information about Jesus' life as he now has become 12 years of age. His life from birth to boyhood to manhood is at best very sheltered. God didn't give us a lot of information. I don't know why. It's because God chose not to do that. But we don't really need to know any more than what he tells us here. But we do know this. What we know now comes from a short version of what Luke writes about him in his early days at his 12th birthday. Now, when a Jewish boy reached the age of 13, he was called a bar mitzvah. It means a son of the commandment. From Jesus' 12th year to his 13th birthday, he would have undergone a huge preparation and a huge instruction time, because when he reached the age of 13, he would be declared then a man in the community of Israel. So he'd have to undergo rigorous instruction and preparation for his passage from boyhood to manhood at his 13th year. The bar mitzvah became a man in a Jewish community at 13. Now, let's look in on what took place as Jesus would soon be moving from his 12th year to his 13th year, moving from boyhood, as far as Israel is concerned, unto manhood. This rite of passage is about all that we know from Jesus' 12th year until his bar mitzvah, which would be his 13th year. Now, from the 13th year all the way up until Jesus was a full adult physically, and he would come out and begin his public ministry, we know virtually nothing. Virtually nothing we know about Jesus from his 13th year until he was about 30 years old. So at best, we have just sketchy portions, little bits and pieces about his life. What we're going to do tonight is look at Jesus from his boyhood coming into his manhood. Now, we just want to give us some information, what Luke gives us here. There's four things I see in this passage I want to share with you. First of all, I want you to see the mission that the family went on every year in verse 41 there and verse 42. You'll see every year at the Passover feast, they would make a trip to Jerusalem with thousands of other people, possibly a million people. Lots of people would make the trek to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover feast. Actually, it was two feasts in one. It was a feast of unleavened bread as well as a feast of the Passover. And this celebration took 8 full days. So 1 year prior to Jesus being 13, at 12, that he goes with his family, they go back to Jerusalem as they do every year to celebrate the Passover feast. This would be a very special time for Jesus because soon he would be 13. In just another year, he'd be, you might say, moving through the rite of passage from boyhood to actually manhood. So this occasion this year would be very special to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this mission was doubly important, not only for Joseph and Mary, but for Jesus as well. So here they make the mission, they make the trip every year. Now notice when we got there, the celebration's over, and they start home. There's a big misunderstanding that takes place in the family. If you look at verse 43, "And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him." And it says in verse 46, "And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple." Now, after the 8 days of celebration of the Passover, they start the trek back from Jerusalem, going back to Nazareth again. Now, there were hundreds, probably maybe even thousands, I don't know, huge groups of people that would be traveling from Jerusalem to wherever their home might be. It was not uncommon for families and extended families to have traveled together to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover feast. And so as they started back home, it would not have been considered at all uncommon that Jesus' family, as well as his extended family, probably some cousins, uncles, aunts, some other family extended members, would be traveling with them. So when it all of a sudden discovered that Jesus was not with them, it wasn't too big of a shock because they felt like he might have been with some of the other part of the family members that would be traveling along with them. But nonetheless, it was not so. Well, what do they do? What any parent would do? They panicked. No doubt they panicked. What if you had a 12-year-old child and you was 3 days into a journey somewhere, supposing he was with part of your family, and all of a sudden, you find out he's not with the family, and he's certainly not with you, and you've traveled 3 days and no child. How would you feel? What would you do? I'd be highly excited, wouldn't you? I'm sure Mary and Joseph were too. Imagine the parents. What do you think they might have thought? 3 days' journey and no son. Could he be back in Jerusalem? Where could he be? What could have happened to him? In today's society, what would you think? The child might have been abducted. The child might have been abused. The child might have been murdered and left somewhere in a gutter somewhere. The child might have been abducted and you maybe never see that child again. All these thoughts had to run through their mind as it would yours and mine today, would it not? So what did they do? Immediately when they discovered Jesus was not with them, they started looking for Jesus. And they went a day's journey, it says, and they, of course, found Him not. It wasn't a reflection on Mary or Joseph for Jesus to have been missing. Like I said earlier, it would have been very common for him to be with part of the other family. So they would maybe assume that he was with some of the other family members. So it wasn't that Mary or Joseph had neglected Jesus to just not care about where he was or what he was doing or who he was with. It's just one of those things. Well, no doubt how anxious they were to find him. So they go back to Jerusalem and they find Jesus in the temple. No doubt they were worried about what could have happened to Jesus. And after 3 days of searching, they find Jesus in the temple. And when they found him, I think they spoke to him just as most any parent would, probably in a stern tone of voice. They said, "Jesus, why have you dealt with us so? Why have you treated us like this? Why are you missing? Why did you stay with us?" All kinds of things we would ask our children probably once we found out that they were safe and we had found them. Then the questions would roll, wouldn't they? And when they asked, Jesus replied. It almost sounds like a little curt statement that Jesus said. I'll just kind of paraphrase what he said. Like something like, "Well, why would you be concerned? Why would you not think I'd be in the temple? Why did you search 3 days for me? The temple's the first place you should have looked for me because you ought to know I should be about my Father's business." If Mary and Joseph had just remembered the words just previously when he was a baby that Simeon had said concerning who Jesus is and what Jesus was destined to be, if they had just remembered that, they would have gone to the temple probably first to have found Jesus, but they probably didn't remember. Makes you wonder sometimes, doesn't it? All the angelic announcements that Mary and Joseph had had about who Jesus is and what he was coming to be and what he was going to be doing, all those shepherds who came and worshiped the Lord Jesus, the magi who came and fell down and worshiped him and gave him wonderful, expensive gifts, and all these other things that had taken place, you would just have thought he would certainly be about his Father's business in the temple, wouldn't you? Well, for whatever reason, their divine eyes and understanding were not opened. Well, don't you think it's strange that they had been firsthand to all these angelic visits, all this worshiping of the shepherds and the magi? Wouldn't you just think after seeing all this firsthand, they would know. They would know to look for Jesus in the temple. Yet they didn't see him, did they? They didn't really see at this point Jesus' purpose in his life being here, emerging even at 12 years of age. So you find a huge misunderstanding taking place when Jesus was missing there for 3 days. But from their mission and this misunderstanding, I want you to see what they found Jesus doing in the temple. They found him ministering. Now listen, at 12 years of age, they found Jesus in the temple ministering to the most gifted, the most learned religious men of all Israel. They call them here doctors of the law. The most gifted teachers, the most gifted men who knew the most about the Jewish law and Jewish customs and the Word of God, here sat Jesus in the midst of them, ministering to them. They didn't understand. These men heard Jesus speak about things and explain some things, and Jesus could go right to the heart of an issue. Jesus could explain things they felt like way beyond, far beyond any 12-year-old should never have known the things that Jesus was discussing with them. The Bible says they were astonished. Astonished is maybe not a strong enough word. We might say amazed at Jesus' understanding and the answers to the questions they might have asked him. These men asked Jesus. They were literally, I'd say, at their wits' end to understand how Jesus would have known this. They were beside themselves at a 12-year-old knowing all the things that Jesus knew. Well, these words astonished or amazed or at their wits' end really cannot capture the excitement of these men who were the most gifted in all Israel. How much more Jesus knew than they did. They'd studied all their life, and here a 12-year-old little lad comes in and sits down, and he takes them way beyond where they'd ever been. He could put things together that they couldn't put together. He could come with insights that they couldn't come up with. Things that should have been way beyond his grasp. So they find Jesus ministering to the most gifted men of Israel. And it astonished the men, to be sure. But no doubt it astonished Mary and Joseph too, because they didn't fully understand. But then you find, lastly, as they come to the mission to worship the Passover feast, they had the misunderstanding about where Jesus was. Then they find him in the temple ministering to all these most learned men. And now then you find them making the trek back home. Look at verse 51 and 2. And he, Jesus, went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them, but his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. You know, I'm going to take a risk here in saying something that probably a lot of folks won't agree with me, but let me say it anyway. I feel this way. I wonder when Jesus fully became aware that he indeed was a Messiah. Others say, well, he's known it ever since his birth, before his birth. But now, wait a minute. Think about it. Jesus had set aside his omniscience to come here as a human being, physically, just like you and I, as a baby. Babies know hardly anything, do they? He had set aside his omniscience, and the Bible tells us that Jesus learned, and he was exposed to a lot of things. And I wonder where and when he fully came to the realization that he indeed was a Messiah. I do know this for sure. We can't say for sure when, but I do know this. At 12 years of age, I believe he knew. I believe he knew. I believe the scriptures bear out the very fact that he knew. Well, the Bible says he starts to go back to Nazareth to be with his parents in their home again. And Luke kind of closes out his information as they go back to Nazareth, and you don't find anything else recorded about Jesus' early boyhood to manhood. You don't find anything else recorded in all the New Testament from his 12th year all the way through to when he's about 30 years of age when he comes out and begins his public ministry. But I do know this. Listen to this. All the religious leaders, Mary and Joseph included, didn't fully understand what Jesus told them about his Father's business. Don't you know I should be about my Father's business? The leaders, of course, wouldn't have known that. You would have thought maybe Mary and Joseph might have known it, but they didn't seem to understand it either. But the Bible says Mary kept all these things in her heart, as any mother would do. Kept all these things in her heart. But we find the Bible says, Luke says, Jesus went home with Joseph and Mary, and he was subject unto them. He was obedient unto his parents, earthly parents here, until he fully became of age and started on his own public ministry. But now you see, Jesus continually, the Bible says, grew in stature. He grew on into adulthood physically, but he also grew in favor, it says, with God and with man. And he grew in wisdom. So Luke just closes out the passage from boyhood to actual manhood, and we know nothing more of Jesus' life between his 12th birthday until we see him again emerging as an adult to meet John the Baptist. And that's where we're going to pick up next time. That's when he appears at the Jordan River where John's baptizing, and then John recognizes the Lamb of God, and he says, "This is he. This is the one who's to come." Now, we've said about all that we can say as far as Jesus' early life, his birth, his circumcision, his 12 years of age in the temple, and now it's silent again till we pick up again, and we'll do that next time where Jesus steps out and begins his public ministry. You know, I've heard all kinds of stories, and like I said last week, theories of what people say Jesus might have done, thought he did, you know, should have done this, did that, but nobody really knows. We just don't know. But we do know from his 13th year, 12th year on forward, I do know this, God was preparing him for the day when he would step out and leave his mother and Joseph and begin the public ministry of to be the Messiah that God had sent him here to be. I look forward to looking at those days, don't you?